got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance right out in my soul. This morning, let's stand. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control.
That reassurance way down in my soul.
Oh, give the Lord a good hand clap this morning if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Did you enjoy Brother Tim last night? I believe it's one of the best I ever heard him bring to us. Amen. And they're singing. Well, they just come in here and steal your heart and go back to South Carolina and make you half mad and everything else, but we sure love the Burdettes, don't we? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Please remember Brother Jack from Nairobi, Kenya, in your prayers. He's been hemorrhaging for the 2 weeks and in dire need of our prayers that the Lord would touch and completely heal him. So we want to remember that need this morning as we pray. I want to pray this morning for Sister Lydia Schnell. I hope I got that name right. Remember her in prayer. She's been in the nursing home for 3 years. The doctors there had her on 12 very strong medications that caused her to lose her memory and speech. She's now under different doctors. They have taken her off of some medications, and she now recognizes the family and what people are saying to her, but cannot speak as of yet. Please pray that God will restore her speech and her body movements. She is from Kitchener, Ontario. So we want to remember that need as we pray today. Sister Deanna Glenn wants to thank the Lord for helping them as she was able to sell the family farm and auction everything off for their parents, and so that they'll be taken care of. They want to praise the Lord for that. Brother Burt sends this in. They're going to be missing the services this weekend. They just asked the Lord. They're going to be visiting some folks from out of town, entertaining them. Their heart's desires to be here in the service. So let's pray for those folks today. I want to pray for Mr. and Mrs. Charles Hamilton sends this in to please pray for my granddaughter. She's in the hospital for asthma, so we want to certainly remember that. Also, they're asking that this assembly would hold that little child in their hearts as we pray. Sister Lana says to please remember Kezia McCoy in prayer. She has a high temperature and nausea. Also, a very special unspoken prayer request. We're just committed all unto the Lord. Certainly we'll remember Sister Natalie Yantz in prayer this morning as she's just battling. But we just pray that the Lord would touch our sister and help her. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something on your heart this morning you'd like for this assembly to pray about, you believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, isn't He? I'm glad that I can resolve in the fact that He's got it all in control. Sing that verse for us, Brother Harry. I put my life in His hands. That's the best place you can put your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen.
I put my life in His hands.
Amen.
I put my life in His hands.
Oh, yes.
Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life.
Oh, now let's sing it. He's got it all. Well, He's got it all in control. Daniel. God bless you.
Do you believe that this morning? Let's believe God for these requests. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again to be in this service again this morning. Thank you, God, because you've done so much for us and kept us when we couldn't keep ourselves. God, we praise you for every family that comes to this church, every visitor that's among us this morning. God, we pray that you'll bless them. And God, this Memorial Day, as we honor the dead and the living also that fighting for our country, we pray, God, that you'll be with those boys on the foreign fields, with their families, Lord Jesus. God, we pray now for these requests that I hold in my hands. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you heal every one of them. God, the brother in Kenya, Brother Jack, I pray that you move for him, Lord Jesus. And the other ones, God, knowing that I can't remember all their names, but I know that you know each one of them. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll stretch forth your hand to move. God, we thank you for the service that we was in last night. God, we thank you beforehand for the service that we're going to be in today. God, we pray that you'll move by your Holy Ghost. Bless every part. Bless the singers. Bless those, God, in charge of the instruments. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll have your way. In Jesus' name, bless Brother Dying, Lord Jesus. Anoint his lips, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Asked me to say something about the veterans this morning. And I want to do that. Sometimes, well, myself being a veteran, I know what they go through with. I remember when we was in Saudi Arabia, when we used to get our food and we'd be out there and the wind would stop blowing. We have always sand that would blow in our food. I know what it's like to be away from home. And I know that some of these other brothers know the same thing. And we just want to honor them just for a minute. I'd like for everybody to sit down except our veterans. Will you just stand up this morning? Amen. I know Brother Calvin was in World War II. Some of them was in Vietnam. Some of them, Saudi Arabia, Desert Storm, Iraq. But God has brought you everyone to this place for this purpose. And for this time, we thank God for you this morning. I'd like for the congregation to give them a hand this morning. We thank you for your service. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Now let's all stand. Amen. We're all veterans. Some of a different war, but we're all in the same war right now. We're fighting for our life and we're winning. Somebody say, I am a winner. Somebody say, I will prevail. Somebody say, quitting is not even an option. Do you mean it with all your heart? Give him another big hand clap of praise. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, you are so welcome. We God bless you. We're glad to have you. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. We're going to cut the singing a little bit short, so sing real hard and real good on this one song. Brother Tim, Brother Tony, and all of them is going to come and get ready to sing for us. They said, well, we might sing one song. I said, yeah, you might not either. So they're going to come and sing for us. But let's sing it. Get up in Jesus' name. Get up, get up. Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily for those who would be saved. Don't go down to the head. Say, don't go down to be there. Victory's here to play. Get up.
past him. We saw his name was bad. They had no gold and silver.
Oh, yes.
They gave him it.
Well, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Should the Lord ask you to?
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together as the Burdettes come to the platform, be getting ready to sing for us today. May it rain on your spirit here today. If you're dry in a dusty land, God can make you so refreshed before you leave here today. Let's sing this little chorus together. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, We're ready to enjoy you brothers sing for us this morning. I told Brother Tony, whatever you sing, it'll be all right, but I want you to sing that one where you don't get to help him on. Not that we don't love to hear you sing, but we want to hear him sing that. Did you enjoy that song last night? If I ever needed you before, Lord, I need you right now. You can be seated. God bless you this morning. Give the Burnettes a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you today.
He's just right to the point, ain't he? Sing that and that don't help him. I appreciate that. Ain't God good? Amen. Well, it's good to be back in service with you. Again, we just appreciate and thank the veterans. As Brother Louis said, the spiritual veterans, that would be each one of us fighting for life today. And this is the season of it. Amen? Amen. We'll just sing a couple of songs.
No, you're not going to sing no couple. Got about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Brother Donnie already knows when he's getting ready to come out. You're not going to. You'll do fine. It's on, they say. Orange, turn the orange one on, Ronnie.
Well, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
We tried a different route this morning. They said that I guess I just either I sang too soft or either I play the drums too hard. I don't know what to do.
Let's start with this song here. If you know it,
this is my desire to worship you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Sing it now.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you all alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me, Lord, I give you my heart, Lord, I give you my soul, I live for you. Take, Lord, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. One more time now. Lord, I give you all my heart. Lord, I give you all my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath, Lord, that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
That's your desire.
in a lowly cattle stable in Bethlehem. There were signs of new construction on a mighty span. In the hearts of all the lost, cast the shadow of a cross, as that babe in Mary's crib would soon be mercy's bridge. Oh, it was just across the river, heaven's side. But we were much too weak to swim, but no boat to ride. God made a way that couldn't fail. A rugged cross, three rusty nails on Calvary's rugged ridge. Mercy built a bridge. Cross the Calvary way, leads from night into the brightest day, where Jesus died so that you and I could leave all here, mercy built to bridge. Now we can cross, but we must cross Calvary, leads from night into the brightest day, where Jesus died so that you and I need leave all here, mercy built to breathe. Just leave all here, 'cause mercy built a
bridge. That great bridge, it gap from way over here to way out yonder. And all we got to do is walk. Just walk. Nothing else. Just walk. He didn't ask us to do much, did he? Because he done it all for us, Brother Amos. Aren't you glad he did? Oh, aren't you glad he did it all for us? Amen.
Y'all know this one. Y'all sing along with this one. In the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Pain and loneliness, as he wore that robot flesh. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? As he stood in Pilate's hall, he never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? He heard the mob yell crucify, oh, but he knew he came to die. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? What love?
he lay there in that tomb. Think about it. He did what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? But you know he rose up from the grave so that we could live today. Wasn't that love? As he lay there in that tomb, he did what he came to do. Wasn't that love?
You know anybody else that would do that?
Wasn't that love? But you know, he rose up from that grave so that we could live today. Wasn't that love? Oh, what a love. Wasn't that love?
This one again, if there ever was a time. And again, just listen to the words to it. It is a beautiful song. I was going to write it, but the Crab family beat me to it. But I thought about it. If this song relates to anybody, the one that needs to know about it is here. Jesus Christ.
If there ever was a time I needed you before, Lord, I need you now. If there ever was a trial couldn't handle on my own, that's how this feels somehow. If there ever was a child I that was crying out for help. That's what this song's about. And if there ever was a time I needed you before, Lord, I need you now. If there was a friend that's always kept his word, Lord, I know it's you. 'Cause there's never been a time you left me all alone. Been untrue, and if I know anything, it's that you will meet my needs just like you always do. So I'm leaning on your love, and I ain't counting on your grace just to see me through. 'Cause Lord, I need you to remind me. 'Cause sometimes we forget how faithful you have been. In the weakest moment, Lord, that's where your strength begins. I needed you before, Lord, I so need you now. If there ever was a trial I couldn't handle on my own, that's how this feels somehow. If there ever was a child crying out for help, Lord, that's what this song's about. That's what it's all about. So if there ever was a time I needed you before, Lord, I need you.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down quickly. Said I walked on the water, oh, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind and it hushed, and I gave you all the peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you call? I walked right beside you. Heaven, oh, just to die for your sins. Oh, and I searched until I found you, Lord, and I'm gonna do it all again. Sit down, you remember where I brought you from. Oh, just take a look behind you, just a heart. Didn't I leave for you? So why would you be taking turns when I would not see you through?
it's not that long since I moved like that before. Oh, I've moved so many times before. I do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more. He said, I won't tell the wife and I called the raging sea. He said, I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave. Beside you so you would not fall. Did I leave over heaven or just die for your sins? Oh, I searched till I found you and I did all again. Listen now, and she's talking to her father in a house that was a home. Said my bills are coming due, Lord, in 6 days is not that long. Then she hears a voice so still and low. I've moved many times before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more. Said I walked on the water, on the rain to see. Spoke to the wind and it hushed, and I gave you so much peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Walk right beside me so you would not fall. Didn't I leave all heaven just to die for your sins? Searched until I found you, I'll do it all. Won't you listen now? She's talking to her father in a house that once was a home. She said, my bills are coming to you, Lord. 6 days just ain't that long. She hears a voice so still and low. I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you. Happy Valley, and I'll give you so much more. I did not walk on the water. Did not calm the raging sea. I spoke to the wind and it hushed. And I gave you so much peace. Did I run to your rescue, church? Did not hear you when you called? Beside you, Lord, so you would not fall. Didn't I leave all heaven, or just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Saints of God gather together, and all the talent that He's given down through the ages will be all merged into one great time. Think of the thousands of singers, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of musicians, of gifted people that have lived down through time, and all of them that actually took that gift and used it for the glory of God. It will not cease, but through the ages that are on the other side, we'll still be glorying and honoring and worshiping and praising the name of our King. Amen. Amen. What a great time. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
Amen.
Let's turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 5 today. While you're turning there, I'd also like to announce that the girls and the ladies, some of our sisters have been curious. Some of the younger unmarried have been asking a lot of questions about what they look for in a husband and how to behave and how to do this and that and the other. And I'm qualified to do a lot of things. I can cast out devils by the help of the Lord. I can scream and sing every now and then, not as good as these boys can, but I can preach. I can do things that God's called me to do. But there's some things that I just can't do. And when it comes to talking to sisters and talking to women about certain things, you know, even Paul wrote in the New Testament that the elder or aged women should meet together with the younger women, teach them how to love their husbands. You'd think any woman would know that, but apparently some didn't. How to be keepers at home and do these various things in their life. And we know that he never insinuated, of course, that women were to preach or women were to usurp authority over man. So we're going to have something like that here, and you sisters can be able to look at it in the library and sign up on it if you'd be interested in doing so. Beginning the first week of June, and just a couple of weeks off, the girls and the ladies, you need to sign up. Young girls, 14 to 17. The young ladies, 18 to 30. And Carol has read part of this book, and I've looked at part of it, and it's one of the books is called Ladies in Waiting. Another one for married women is What Did You Expect? And be Sister Ivy that'll be talking. Now, Sister Ivy's not going to be taking a text and preaching. Ha, glory to God. Ha, I'll tell you one thing. But it'll be more of a, you know, a round table type discussion and that type of thing. It's not marriage counseling, so don't go to her with all your problems, because I'll tell you exactly what she's going to do. She's going to send you to me, so you might as well come to me anyhow. But we feel like it would be a benefit, and I've read over, you know, different to the principles and things that are involved. And I'll tell you, friend, when I see so many divorces, I see so many marriages that are in such a terrible situation. You know, you think, God, help us to do everything that we can do to try to stop this in our ranks. Used to years ago, we would laugh and make fun of the denominational people. Oh, I'll tell you one thing, because they ain't got the truth. Well, what's the issue now? We got it. And we're having as many or more. There's something wrong somewhere. And I realize if people would listen to a lot of the preaching, you know, it covers a lot of the high spots. But there's no way you can go down through every crook and cranny of everybody's life and be able to deal with every issue. So I think this will be of a benefit to our sisters. You know, there's nothing greater that God can be able to give an institution on the earth outside of the new birth next to being married. And yet so many people are so hurting and suffering. And people get such a fizz, and they just get in such a, some of our young ladies are 20 and then they're 25 and they think, oh dear God, I'm an old maid, I'll never get married. So they rush into something. And I'll tell you one thing, it's sad to be alone and be single. But what's even worse is to be married and be alone. Because you've gotten a big rush and you married the wrong man or the wrong woman and you didn't wait and you didn't pray. So it's a very, very serious thing. I realize a lot of message folks, vows don't mean nothing no more. They get tired of this and they put it away and get another and do all that. It's still sin. It's still wrong. Marriage and divorce did not give us a right to just put away and remarry. You need to listen to it again and again and again if that's your idea of it. So for you sisters that would be interested in that, the times are yet to be determined according to who can come when and all that. So you can be able to sign up for that in the library if you would. Genesis chapter 5 verse 21. I'd like to speak to you today on rapture. I'm sorry, Billy. Excuse me. Didn't mean to drop it. I know it's hard for you to get down that big belly of yours. He's really slimming down, ain't he? I'd like to speak to you today on rapture order. And we believe there is an order for the rapture and the resurrection. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now let's read this from the rapture, which was preached 12:4:65, paragraph 178. And I want you to listen to this very, very carefully, because many, many people around the message don't believe it this way. One day there will come a blast from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Them Old Testament saints back yonder who are waiting will blast forth and come out of there first. Not Brother Branham. Them Old Testament saints come out of there first and go into the resurrection. We'll, him and us, those are the rest of us, will drop in line. Now, he's not going to be at the head of the line. Well, glory. I ain't even starting. Some of y'all quiet already. We'll drop right in line going into the sky. These old mortal bodies changed and made like unto his own glorious body. What a parade that will be. You talking about a Memorial Day. Amen. Glory. What a parade that'll be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice, when it starts heavenward some of these days, in that rapturing time that lays ahead, all proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ upon their chests, the message of God in the hour that they lived in. The blood of Jesus Christ, the message of God. The Word was made blood, friends. So if you're under the blood, you must be identified back with the word of the season to have it on your chest. The blood of Jesus Christ upon their chest, the message of God in the hour that they lived in. That's the hour that we're looking forward to, brother. That's the hour I'm looking forward to, are you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach you today, we ask for your great help. We have been blessed today, Lord, already by singing of songs, and we are thankful, Lord, that all that you have done for us. But we too are looking forward to that great rapturing time that lays ahead. And we know it's not all ahead, because part of it has happened and is happening now. But there is a time that lays in the future. So we want to be synchronized to what you are doing, and we want to be synchronized to what lays ahead. So pull us, I pray, in order, Lord Jesus, that we can be ready for that great day. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. It doesn't look like, from many statements that Brother Branham made, that Adam and Eve were actually resurrected in Matthew 27:52. We know that when Jesus raised up from the dead, that the Bible says graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. But not all the saints arose. Just many. Now, paradise is a separate thing from graves being opened. Paradise was emptied out. But all the saints of the Old Testament did not raise in the resurrection. So there will be many, many, many saints
of the Old Testament that will experience their resurrection at the same time that the saints do in this generation. And we know that God has done it that way. He's the designer, actually, of the resurrection and the rapture. So here, whenever Paul is inspired by God to write about Enoch and write about the rapture and the coming of the Lord, and then Moses in Genesis writes the same thing, and then Brother Branham, of course, picks up the same examples and uses them for us to show what lays ahead for us, that we would have a good idea of what to expect and what to look for, so that we would not be confused on the order and the time and the season of the rapture. Now, we know that, as our brother brought to us last night, that there is a time. There is a season for all things. There was a time for Abraham to have a revelation of what God was going to do for him. But that was a different season than one it would be when Sarah was going to catch her part of the revelation. As a matter of fact, it was many, many years apart from the time that God started dealing with Abraham till God started dealing personally with Sarah. And God left the revelation and put a span of time in between the time that he started dealing with the prophet messenger of that age until he started dealing with the bride type of that age, which was Sarah. Many, many years passed. And it seemed as if, though, Sarah would have no inclusion in the revelation. And God chose to do it that way, so you can see why, that she would look at it and feel like that all the emphasis was placed upon Abraham. Because God told him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And yet God never said anything about Sarah for a long, long time. For many, many years. So it would be easy for her to read into the story that apparently she was not included in this revelation and that God actually loved Abraham more than he did her. Now you can see that same pattern as for years and years it went in along the message then that the emphasis of God, even the emphasis of the season of the time, seemed to be on Brother Branham. I mean, the people listen to the tapes today and that's all they do, and they hear Brother Branham talk about himself and the message pointing to him, pointing to him, pointing to him, and then they come to church and they hear me preach or some other minister preach and they hear us pointing to the bride, and they're thinking in their mind, this ain't right. This is not right, because I've been listening to tapes all day long and I've been hearing Brother Ram talking about him and talking about him. Sure, but look at the date of that tape. And come on, move up in the season, and then you realize that for that time it was very much in time and in season. But this is now Sarah's hour. Amen. Do we do away with his time? Absolutely not. But whether or not you want to accept it, Brother Branham's time is fulfilled. His season is over. And God is not going to do a repeat of that, because Brother Branham served it so well. He does not have to come back and undo or redo anything that he did not complete. But the season is now for Sarah's time. It is now Rebecca. It is now Ruth. It is the feminist gender of the deity of God. It is now the bride's time to take that portion of the word. Friend, you are the actors on the scene. And God is now doing it, and there ain't enough people around the message to stop it. There ain't enough devils in hell, so you're wasting your time trying to stop it. It's done too far gone. It's done too far gone. I don't care how many rallies you have, how many tape meetings you have, what the government does, what the police does. They won't stop it now. It's done in motion. God has done, set the cycle. It's already been spoke, and it's already been released by the power of God, and it's happening today. Today, this very hour, it is happening on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Now, notice this in Genesis, again, chapter 5, verse 24, that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, there is a rapture order, a way by which the elect of God are moved into the cycle of the rapture, and no one else can go in, neither can the elect be left out. Now, we know there's something, of course, that we must do, a way we must live, and things that we must do, but yet when it comes to a certain element of the rapture, you have absolutely no input whatsoever. There's nothing you can do to endow yourself with rapturing faith. There's nothing you can do to endow yourself with the type type of energy with the type of fuel that you need to change your body. Now, most of you have known enough about the shuttle and the spaceships and things like that to know that they wait right down to the last little bit of time before they ever put that rocket fuel in that shuttle. Now, they don't move the shuttle out there and let it sit for days and days and days and days with all this rocket fuel in it because they want it to be fresh. They want it to be exactly time right. So they wait right down until the last moment sometime because there may be a weather front moving in and they know that this thing cannot take off. What is it? It is a refilling, glory, of the dynamics which that thing is made to run on. But yet they don't put it out there full of rocket fuel. Let me tell you something. We have worked in part by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But don't you understand what rapturing faith is? It is simply a filling of rocket fuel for you to take your journey. It's not something exterior from you that you do not already have. It's not producing something in you that's different than what you are by your spiritual soul. But it is a refilling of rocket fuel which you have worked in part while the headstone has been descending. Now, notice Enoch walked with God. This is Enoch's part, as we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, that he takes and he puts the word into structural form into the pyramid. Now, this is God manifesting himself, of course, through the prophet's ministry. And if you notice, it was the seventh from Adam, a prophet of God that begins to prophesy about the word. So he takes the stones of the pyramid and he begins to build a structural form of truth which withstood the antediluvian destruction on the earth. Now notice then the Spirit of God says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So there is another seventh from Adam. This is why we needed a prophet in this day. Not just a pastor or a reformer or an apostle, but we needed a prophet that would come and go into prophesying about another rapture. And the enemy, now remember, the pyramid withstood the flood. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, there's another pyramid body on the earth. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, this body will withstand the pyramid. It will withstand rather the flood of all of Satan's onslaught. You would have already given up a long time ago. But the structural engineer of the universe has laid his building blocks in your soul. And you're not going to fall, my friends. Now once God does his part, Enoch does his part. It's like a dynamo when it takes brushes and it takes, all the things to make it all work together. Now what's verse 24 is a merging of Enoch's submission with a real display of the power of God. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch did his part and God did his. Now God is not going to do both yours and his. Neither does God expect you to do both yours and his. You do your part, you do the walking and God will do the taking. Fair enough. Notice Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. We looked at this word, but let's look at it again. It means to take, to get, to fetch, lay hold of, seize, marry, take a wife. So Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took a wife. God took a wife. In time. Look at this word, snatch, to take away, to take from, take out of, carry away, take possession of. So you're this man now, the order. It's very, very simple, friend. It was not a great complex type of thing. Enoch walked with God and he was not. Why was he privileged to be this? Because God needed a type. Very simple. Notice this in the infallibility. He said, Enoch, before the world, the end of destruction, if he wanted to show a type, how could he do it if he didn't, if he didn't want Enoch to die? He had to make a translation for him. So God made a rapture for him. God had to do it in order to make a type out of Enoch. So God takes one man and he makes a type out of that one man. God needed a type. God didn't want to write it now just in paper with pen or ink, but he wanted to write it in the mystery of a man's life. So God writes a type in this man's life. It is the order of the last day, rapture and resurrection. Now, Paul says it this way, by faith, Enoch was translated, removed, changed, to transpose two things. one of which is put in the place of the other, to transfer, to change, to go, or pass over. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Notice the two parts. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So it's not all God and it's not all Enoch. It's God and Enoch, and that is the majority. It's not God and Enoch and his wife and his son and his granddaughter, his third cousins, brothers, wives, uncles, sisters, nephew, a stepchild. It is Enoch and God. It's not me and you and God. It's not you and your wife and God. It's not you and your grandpa and God. It's you and God. Notice this in God's power to transform. Enoch was translated from death by God's transforming power. What did God do that for? For a type of the rapturing church that's coming. Yeah. Elijah was the same. Amen. Notice this in paragraph 254. That word that has to come to pass, it's God's word. Plant it in your heart. If you plant it, notice, if you want to go in a rapture, if you want to be Christians, genuine, place this word, as I believe Ezekiel told you, take the scroll and eat it up, that the prophet and the word become the same. Now, can you imagine? Here's Brother Branham telling us what to do in order to be ready for the rapture. That we're to take the word and eat the word. Not let it be in our head, not let it be in our intellect, but let that word become so part of us that us and the word become the same thing. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Notice what he has now. Enoch has this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He has this testimony, which is a good report, to affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something. Well, my daddy was a good, my grandpa. No, that's not it. You must have the same testimony. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in me. Not just in Brother Donnie, not just in Brother Branham, but he's the Hebrews 13:8 in me. Now notice, rapturing order. There is an order in order to please God. So he has this testimony that he pleases God. I know we read this, but let's read it again. The greatest pleasure that the believer has is knowing that he's living or doing something that's pleasing the Lord. Now we're talking about bride material, friends. Why, if he was looking for the coming of the Lord like we should be looking, man, there would be no friction nowhere. You can tell we're not doing that. Well, praise the Lord. Enoch just got tired of walking around. He'd walked with him 500 years and pleased him all the time. I'm just not adjusted to the earth, so I think I'll go home with him this afternoon. Oh my goodness. Think of that. And just walked right up through the sky. Oh, I wish I had that kind of faith. It's going to take that kind of faith at the coming of the Lord to take a little stroll some afternoon out here and walk right on out home with him. Look how hard it's going to be. It's just like taking an evening walk with you and God. Oh, a man that has that faith, I'd never put a straw in his way. I'd praise God for him. Oh, just as hard as I could. Yes, sir, because we'll have to be that way before we are raptured with him in the last days. Now, we've got to be what way? What is it? What do I have to struggle for? What am I trying to reach for? Is it some mystery? Is it some great profound thing that one day I'll hear that mystery and it'll click? Something will happen on the inside of me. It'll release something? That wasn't the way it was with Enoch. It was a walk. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then if you took off on Friday and went down to Myrtle Beach, Enoch would have still been a Christian at Myrtle Beach. Enoch didn't drink wine at home, so when he was on vacation, he didn't drink it. Enoch didn't dress at home ungodly, so when he goes on vacation, he don't dress on the vacation ungodly. He has the same standard everywhere he goes. But you see, many people in our ranks put rapturing faith as something that is exterior from what they are and separate from their own identity. Now there's a reason for that. It's because it is not actually, it's only in the elect that this identity, an identity can be found, because it is part of who they are. It's seeing who they really, really are and being able to look into the mirror and say, that is not me. That is not really who I am. This mortal, these gray hairs, these wrinkles, that's not who I am. Because before I ever had a gray hair, I was eternal. So how could a gray hair be me? How could a wrinkle in my face be the true me? It's not the true me. It is only a temporary mark in this body that I'm living in, which I believe with the grace of God is fixing to be reversed. Now, watch this if you could understand it correctly. We are planted together in Christ Jesus, who is the inexhaustible fountain of life. Planted in Christ, and we just drink and drink and drink and push out. And everything we have need of for our earthly journey, divine healing, the power of God, all these other things. And every individual that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're planted in Christ, it's already in you. So rapturing power, healing virtue, strength, encouragement, faith. Where is it? Yeah, I don't have to go to church and say, okay, well, I'm going to get this man to pray for him and this man. If you can understand it, that baptism of the Holy Ghost is that. What am I praying for you for? To help your faith. I can't give you strength. I can't give you energy. Now listen to this. Everything you have need of for this life journey, even the rapture, is right in you. You mean to tell me this morning I am carrying the rapture if I've got the Holy Ghost? Can't you see why Satan wants us to look out here for something out there and not realize where it really is? Then I'm looking and looking and looking. Oh my, is it out there? So where is it? Is it out there? And he don't want me to say, hey, you've got it. It's right in you. The very creator of the rapture lives in me by token life. Now listen to this. I don't want you to misunderstand me, but listen as it says it. So we have death under our control through Jesus Christ, who's overcome death, hell and the grave, sickness and sorrow, and already triumphed over it. Even the physical resurrection is under your feet. You say, how can that be? We're still burying people. We're not burying the part, friends, that is under its feet. The part that we bury is not the part that the physical death. Oh my, our bodies are still subject to that. But the real death, you have passed from death unto life. Death cannot touch your soul. And that life inside of your soul has greater authority than death, because one day from your own soul, you'll call your own body. Even the physical resurrection is under your feet. Because we're in Christ, we pass from death unto life. Physical, spiritual, every way. And all those things belong to us now. Wonder what it will be that will bring the bride to a place so where she we'll be able to recognize who she is. Will it be, now we know, in order to have a healing service, we must be in a healing atmosphere. You realize that nations cannot even have war until they get in the spirit of war. There's no way nations can have war if they're all just together having picnics all the time. Man, everybody loves everybody. Man, they're just best pals ever was. But there has to be a spirit of nations that begins to divide them people. And then they go to get into all this rhetoric of war and fussing and arguing back and forth. And then through the propaganda and the media, boom, we need to destroy so-and-so. We need to kill them. And then they rally their people. Yes, yes, yes. Our freedom is at stake. Don't you see what they're doing? They're moving that nation under the spirit of war, because the people will not settle for it as long as they're under the spirit of peace. But if they feel threatened, every nation will rally if they feel threatened. Oh my. Oh, then if we need a spirit of war to have a war, and we need a spirit of healing to have healing, don't you believe in your heart we need a spirit of rapture in order to have a rapture? How can we preach big buildings and have rapturing faith? Oh, we need to rally. We need to rally. We need to build a $10 million cathedral. We need to do this. And that's all I preach. That's all I preach. Oh, we need everybody needs to have a new car and a new home. And we, that's pretty fitting for those type of people because they're going to be using them in the tribulation period, I guess. But if you get in the spirit of rapture, why would I want to spend all of my time preaching to you a prosperity gospel and preaching the coming of the Lord at any moment? Why do you want to do all that working for the devil? You want to spend all that time making all that money so the devil can take every bit of it. Oh, some of y'all love your money, don't you? You love all your possessions. Well, go ahead and love them dearly, honey. And you go ahead and work your fingers to the bone and do everything you can and make the Antichrist wealthy. While you rob your own soul of the spiritual benefits of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, think this, he says, Jesus is so close to coming. 1962. Jesus is so close to coming to the earth now until his power is beginning to catch the people and winding them up. We was all wound down. Are you a Christian? I'm a Baptist. Are you a Christian? I'm a Pentecostal. But Jesus began to descend and start winding his people. Where they didn't say, I'm not a Baptist, I'm not two soul, I'm not, but I'm the Word. Now this is absolutely required in order to get you ready for the rapture. Now who do you think would know more about the rapture? The one who made it? Or those of us down here who've never been in one? Now we've got all kinds of books that all kinds of Christian authors and theologians have written about, and yet none of them have ever had one. They've never been in one. So who should I believe? Who should I take their word for? Should it not be the designer of the rapture? Glory to God. What's this? Oh, he's beginning to wind them up and get them ready for the bride. Getting ready to be caught up in a rapture. A church that'll just fit exactly to be taken up through its power will draw all the rest of them that's born again out of the earth. Now notice then the order of what God must accomplish himself. He must be the one to release this power that will come upon the earth and quicken the word in such a way it'll release the dynamic fuel of God to change our bodies. Can we sing our way into it? We can't. Can we pray our way into it? Well, our prayer means every night. We'll pray ourselves into that. We can't. We eat ourselves into it, actually. I love this in Christ the mystery. He was not held in the grave, but recognized with him in the resurrection, same as now. Listen, which means this. His word, which he is, has begun to be risen. The word that down through the age of Luther, Wesley has begun to rise to its power. There it began to move and it moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. Watch. The life in the body is a vindication of the rapture is at hand. So the life moving in the mystical body shows, didn't you see why the token life had to come in this day? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, wonderful. Luther had an experience with God. Wesley had one. Pentecost had experience with God. They had gifts. But that won't work for us. The life must be in the body. The literal life. So when we look around and we see message folks that are not contented any longer just to say, well, I'm in the message and I go to Happy Valley or I'm this and that and the other, but they're hungering, they're craving, and they say, oh God, I want life. God, I want your life. Don't you see what that is? It's a vindication that the rapture is moving closer. The life and the body is a vindication of the rapture's at hand. When you see the headship and the body becoming one in the fullness of the measure of his manifestation, it shows that the body is about ready to be received to the headship. Now, will this happen to everybody in the message? It will not. Will it happen to everybody that comes to Happy Valley? It will not. On the day of the rapture, some of you will be left here. Because you're not doing what you're told. Because you think you know more about it than God does and what His ministry does. So you pick and choose. You think this is a smorgasbord. This is a buffet. I don't like this. I don't like that. I like this. I like that. So that's what you take. And you will go in the rapture. You can't. You've got to take what the designer... But I've always believed you have nothing to say about it. We must go to the designer and say, "You, Lord, who designed the rapture, tell us what we need." Oh, glory to God. Notice this. Again, he says, let me say something to us. This is uniting time. See, the church is uniting. Nations uniting. It's a uniting time of God and His bride, too. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe the bride of Christ is called. I believe she's sealed in the kingdom of God. I believe the mechanics is there. They're waiting for the dynamics that'll take her off the earth into glory. In the rapture. Now, does that mean the bride's got the Holy Ghost? Of course not. That would absolutely contradict everything else that he taught. I believe with all my heart, yes sir, we don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. Now watch this. He is the dynamics. We just become members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image. Forming ourselves. How can that be done? We take that word and let that word be our example. Not grandpa, not grandma, not this man, that man, but we set that word before us. And we take that word and we shape ourselves. And we see something in our makeup that's contrary to the word, "God, you help me that I can line up. I want to shape myself to the image of that word." You see, those who are not willing to do it, they're not going anywhere. Because that portion of the word they do not think is necessary. Well, glory. Brother Tim, buddy, I think you should have preached again today. Notice this. We just become members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image. And seeing him uniting himself with us in his works, with his love gifts, as he hands them to us just before the wedding supper. And we're waiting, watching for that. And their big church is to be united. Now watch in the next paragraph. I love how he explains this. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when the head and the body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years ago, oh glory, will rise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight to the sky. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. So the dynamics... it's the same thing that I've got. Only a bigger dose. It's not something different from what I already have. It's only more of it. Like when we come together and we go to worshiping and singing. This little fire, lick of fire, but that one and that one. You know how that feels? It's wonderful, isn't it? Yet you go out of church, go on your job tomorrow and sing the same song that blessed you here today. And see if it has that same power about it. The same resonance about it. Same words, same God. You're singing it from the same mouth. How come it feels different? Less fire. Yeah, we come back Wednesday night and we sing it again. Oh my, glory to God. There it is again. Glory, hallelujah. There it is. What? More fire. More power. What is the dynamics there? It is a refilling. A filling up with rocket fuel. That which you've already got in your soul today. But it'll be a mega dose. It'll go from a cap full to a soul full. I like this. And the token, only when the token is displayed, then the whole family must be under that token. Blood. Papa. Mama. I know how you feel. I got children too. I got to see them saved. Well, now, what about this doctrine of loving Brother Branham? everything that you ever loved and ever loved you. That works wonderful if you're a dog or a horse. But don't try to apply that doctrine to you if you're a human being, because you'll be lost as lost can be. Well, glory! Notice this. Now, you're Brother Branham. This is Brother Branham's doctrine. This is why I preach it this way. Because Brother Branham never exempted family, friends, or nobody else from having the token of the Holy Ghost. I've got children, too. I've got to see them saved. Talking to myself today, I've got brothers. I got a sister. Hey, wait a minute. This is 1963. How come Brother Branham ain't applying this doctrine? Oh, but because they love me and I love them, they'll be saved. Because Brother Branham didn't believe that heresy. That's absolute nonsense. Come on, children. Don't get quiet. I'm talking about rational. Can't you see how many people sitting around the message, and because their mama loved Brother Branham and they love Brother Branham, they think they're going to rational because they love Brother Branham? You don't go in the rational because you love Brother Branham. You go because you're born again. And the order is the new birth. Lord Jesus. I want to see them saved too. But remember, without the display of the token, they'll perish. You know, I don't understand why I'm considered a blasphemer whenever I say Brother Ram's family, Brother Ram's church members, Donnie Reagan's family, any deacon's family, that we all got to have the same Holy Ghost. I don't understand why that I'm considered an absolute heathen and infidel when I preach that, when that's what he preached. Well, glory. If you can't say amen, say ouch or oh me or something, so I know you're still with me. Now, notice this. He said, but remember, without the display of that token, they'll perish. Was that Brother Billy Paul? Brother Joseph? My daughter Alicia, my daughter Erica, my son-in-laws, my granddaughters. So you mean that applies to all of us? All of us. The rocket fuel is not coming to fill up empty vessels. It's coming to cap off.
Oh, glory!
It's coming to be a refilling. Not an initial filling. A refilling.
No doubt some of you fine folks will leave after church today and you'll head down to Fats. Some of you head over to Red Lobster. Some of you head over to Charlie's. Some of you head here and there and there. You go to eat and sit down, drink, you'll get your tea, your water, whatever you get to drink. And them nice people come through. Refill? Refill? Would you like me to cap off your tea? Want a refill? Want a refill? How can you refill something that ain't never been filled? Now, what would you think about your waiter today if he comes up with a pitcher in his hand? You ain't got no glass on your table. You ain't got no cup on your table. And he says, refill, sir?
You're going to look at him and think, when did he get off the boat? About 5 minutes ago, I guess, huh? It must have given him a pass for the weekend. He got out.
I can't have a refill if I ain't had a fill. Don't you understand, Fred? The rapturing faith is not some great something or another out yonder that's so different than what you already are. Oh, my, it's a refilling ministry and outpouring. But what it'll do, it'll come in such a power and such a measure. You won't be able to take it. It'll force your soul to change your mind.
Don't you see what's happening? The bride's being rolled out on the pad, on the launch pad. And here we sit, looking up. We got our power boosters, our fuel, this and that and the other, and we're waiting.
Houston, we're getting ready for the countdown here. How's the weather looking there?
Oh, it's looking bad. Looks like the tribulation's coming. Looks like all kinds of difficulty. We need to get this spaceship out of here before the tribulation sets in. Is everything time? Yes. Have you got the right kind of people? Yes. And what's the name of this shuttle? Challenger. Faith Challenger. Rapturing Age.
All right, now, son, them astronauts inside there now, you just went off the street and picked up some guys that didn't know what they're doing. Oh, no. No, no. These men have been, they've been in simulations of body changes. They floated around in these tubes with no gravitation. Glory! I pulled them in church time and time again and called them up so high they felt like they're going to leave this world. Don't you understand what that is? A simulation rapture. Oh, hallelujah!
Can you imagine NASA going down in Kentucky where I'm from? Go back in them hollers, place back in there, not too far from where I used to live, called Slick Ford. All them old boys, they ain't never seen a big town. They ain't never seen nothing in their life. You go down and talk to them, you probably have to have a nerdy interpreter to hear how they talk. You imagine NASA going down and sending some great man and say, we're looking for an astronaut. He said, not around here, buddy. Is that something you drink? Or smoke or something. I might have something to help you if it's something to drink or smoke. But no astronaut. We don't raise astronauts around here. But they want people that's trained and trained. Don't you understand what you're going through? Don't you understand what's getting ready? He's getting ready for you to lose gravitation. So he puts you in these simulations. Oh, glory! He puts you in there where you can let go of the world. My, you live in a nice house, but it don't tie you down. You drive a nice car, but it don't tie you down.
Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, brother. When that token is once placed in your heart, and you know it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you. Amen. Something is happening. There isn't nothing going to turn you. Amen.
This is why folks are backsliding. This is why folks are getting away from the message. They think they got the Holy Ghost. They think they're sealed. But if you get her, brother, there ain't no turning back. Full obedience to the whole word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. Oh my. Notice this one in Dallas. Be true to this token. It shows the fare has been paid and we've been accepted for the resurrection. Oh, glory to God. Children, do you understand that if you've got the Holy Ghost today in your soul, God has accepted you for the resurrection. Not because you have a long hair or a long dress or sat in this church, but when God looks at you and God sees the token. What is the token? The token is something that you are given that the price has been paid for your fare. Now those of you that flew on planes and drove on trains or boats or whatever more, what do? They give you a pass or they give you a boarding ticket or a boarding slip and identification. And that is your token. And then they call, all right, rows 32 through so-and-so, we want you to come and board. Rows 14 through so-and-so. And then it just comes up, oh, you're a human, come on board. But they want an identification. I want your photo ID. I want your photo ID. Well, I'm so glad God photo IDs his kids. And you know what? He don't use a photo of what I look like right now, but he uses that picture that was taken before the foundation of the world. And I show my ID. There ain't enough devils in hell. There ain't enough nothing to keep me off that flight. I'm accepted this morning for the change. I'm accepted. How do you know? How do you know? Because I see his life. The resurrected Jesus is living in me. Lord Jesus. We've been accepted for the resurrection. Having the token life inside of us. Receive the token. Don't rest upon joining any church or any forms or anything. Get the token. Hold it. It's the only thing that God will recognize. When you come down to that hour, when it comes to your death, you better hold that token over yourself. I want you to listen to this. When your heart is going down, boom, 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 The blood pressure, all the numbers, all the machines are going off. And your body is losing consciousness. And your family's standing there crying, holding your hand. Oh, daddy, oh, husband, oh, wife, we love you, we love you. They don't say what's happening. But you were holding that token over yourself. Glory to God. And you are actually waving that token over that body that life is leaving. You're telling me the next time I see you, there won't be a blood pressure cuff on you. The next time I see you, you won't have IV stuck in your veins. The next time I see you, they won't be checking your blood. Glory to God. The next time I see you, they won't be having somebody with a stethoscope, because there won't be no stethoscope back. So I hold this token over you, body. I know this may seem crazy to you, but I want you to listen to this. Oh, Lord Jesus, make it real to us. When you come down to that hour, when it comes to your death, you better hold that token over yourself. Knowing that in the day of His coming, that resurrection, I can present that token. Do you understand? At the rapture, how will you be included? I'll present my token. The dead in Christ that have lived in this age, in the token age, how will they count them that sleep? Will God bring with Him? How? How? They'll present their token in the sixth dimension. Glory to God. I can present that token. It won't be in this body. It's rotten up. But in this spirit that cannot die, it's eternal life. I wonder what it would look like as one of our saints passes beyond the curtain of time, and they're laying there. All the things are happening. All the things of death. It's moving. It's creeping up. It's creeping up. Creeping up. All of a sudden, their eyes are open. Life is gone. We can't see them no more. But them with their token left out of that body. Let me just say it so you can relate to it in a natural sense. They held their token over them and said, I promise I'll raise you up again. Can't you see why the Paul said, sorrow not, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes. We may not see it in our eye, but when they leave out of that house, they're telling that house, I will raise you up. Me and this token's going yonder to merge into a theophany, but we will come back and call you from the dust of the earth. Lord Jesus, the token rests there, and He promised, I'll raise him up again at the last day. Can you think, friends, in your mind, the Holy Ghost that you have beating in your soul today is the very resurrection of the Lord Jesus Himself. Notice again, He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, it's God's potential waiting upon you that's already recognized, and you're sealed by the Spirit of promise of God into the body of Christ. And when God looked down at Calvary and seen Jesus dying, He died for His bride, the body, which is the Word Church. The church that believes the Word of God for the age, whether it's feet, body, head, or whatever it is. See, it's Christ was bleeding and dying, and God, looking upon Him, saw His resurrection and the church raised with Him on Easter. So when Jesus raised from the dead, I got up with Him. You did too. Now notice, it's the earnest of the potential, the quickening power of your resurrection. When you receive the Holy Spirit, is then dwelling in you the potential of it. Notice, you are now on your way, growing to the full resurrection. Can't you see the resurrection is not one event on one day? For the elect, it is a growing process. I love what Brother Tim said last night. Science is advancing. Technology is advancing. All the world is advancing. And if they are, we know that we are. But what's difficult is we can see it in them, but we have a hard time seeing it in ourselves sometimes. Think of some of us as 50, 40, 50, 60 years old. Think of the advancements that we have seen in our day. Think of how science and technology and phones and, you know, used to a cell phone was a real thing. Mind to think that you can text on it and do all those things today. Who knows what the future holds? And we can see those advancements and hold them in our hand. But what about the advancement of the Word? You think the world's advancing and God's just sitting around, the bride's sitting around going nowhere and doing nothing? She is advancing, but it's in a realm that the natural eye cannot see. And that's why it's so easy for us to get discouraged. Any of y'all ever get discouraged with yourself? All right, the rest of you liars, start up a prayer line right here. I'm going to pray for the biggest and first. Don't you sit down and look at me and tell me you don't get discouraged with yourself? Don't you want more of God? Don't you want to see more growth of God? Sure you do. Why, you can see it all around you. But how come I can't see it in me? It's in another realm that these eyes can't see. Notice this. You are on your way growing to the full resurrection. No tree just comes up overnight. It's got to grow as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Not the knowledge of the message now. Not the knowledge of church. Not the gnosis of knowing more about God to the intellect. But this is knowledge by experience. We understand more about His character, more about His makeup, more about Him, not about His Word. Oh my. You're baptized into the Holy Spirit. It's a Pentecostal church baptized into the Holy Spirit. It began growing. Limbs has died. They were pruning them off. But the tree is still growing. It's still going on because it's got to come to the resurrection. They're led by the Spirit to quicken the Word to you who's believers. And the Word keeps quickening. As you come to the first limb, second limb, third limb, it just keeps quickening. The Spirit of God keeps quickening it to you. We don't need another messenger. We don't even need return of the sevens. We don't need another prophet. We don't need some ask come of a new revelation. But what we need is what's already been spoken to be quickened. Amen. Oh, let me find a place to close. The resurrection. Listen to this. We are now in the resurrection. We are sitting with Him in the resurrection. But only those who have life. Can't you see why Satan wants us to put all of it over yonder? You'll never be a part of what's going to happen over yonder if you're not a part of what's happening now. Not those who don't have life. They won't know it. Not those, you didn't say those that have a tape wouldn't know it, or those that have a Bible, but those who don't have life. They won't know it. That's the only way you know it. It's a movement of life. You heard Brother Tim talking about last night about the natural birth and the spirit of the virgin birth. You know, Brother Ben said that the natural birth was a greater mystery to him than the virgin birth. You know what it is? It's the mystery of the natural birth. That God is able to be able to. He said, who picks it out, whether it's a redhead, blackhead, boy or girl? He said, God does sovereignly. One little egg way back yonder in the back. One little germ of life way over yonder in the back. And they'll fight, climb over the top of one another. Oh my, this buddy's so beautiful last night. Why? Because the mind of God orchestrated that it be redheaded, brownheaded, boy, girl, whatever it was. If God did that to my natural body, which is going to die, how much more has He done to my soul? How much more has He done to your soul?
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Let me close with this, brother. When you hear that scream, there's something in you. You're an eagle. To begin with, why? You are that seed that the resurrection of the S-O-N has dawned. And the wave sheaf upon the earth to make you recognize that you are an eagle. and not a denominational chicken, and God waves that word over you. Oh my. You see it? If the Spirit that raised up Him from the dead, the Word, the dynamic of the Word dwells in you, it also quickens your mortal body. How are we flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone? Because quickly, while we were yet mortal sinners, mortal, ready to die, these bodies, it quickens that body. What's quickened? Bring to life. The Spirit that once, listen to this, liked to drink, ran around, commit adultery, and these things, it's quickened. Why? The thing died. And you are resurrected. How many of you have got the Holy Ghost today? You have already been resurrected in your soul. This is the order of the rapture. Not something exterior, something, oh yeah, I'm gonna get a feeling. We're not getting a feeling, a refilling. Sometimes I like sweet tea whenever I eat. Sometimes I like Pepsi. Sometimes I like water. Sometimes I like different things. If they're not too punctual to come back around and I see them, I say, sir, I'd like another strawberry lemonade, please. Could you give me a refill? Why? I've got a thirst. I want more. I want more. Unlike some of you, I ain't got satisfied yet. Glory. Glory! I ain't been serving God but about 44 years. Unlike some of you, I still ain't satisfied. I've heard His voice. I've heard Him audibly. I've seen Him in many different ways. And the more I see and the more I hear, the more I want. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't need to get the Holy Ghost, but I've had many refillings. Yeah. And rapturing power is going to be the last I'm going to need and the last one I'm going to get. Yeah. Oh, glory. It ain't going to be something that I ain't already got. It ain't going to be something that I ain't already experienced, but it's going to be in a measure like I've never had it before. I've had it to make me speak in tongues. I've had it to make me shout. I've had feelings open up the Word, but this time I'm going to have such a feeling. Such a feeling. When I was growing up and I was the oldest of seven kids, my mama would tell me, young man, you're getting too big for your britches. You need to watch that mouth of yours. Talk back to your mama. Talk back to your daddy. You're getting too big for your britches. That's what God's going to tell me one day. You're getting too big for that body. Your soul is not fitting to live in that kind of body. Well, Lord, what's the fix? A new pair of bitches? No, a new coat. Glory! Hallelujah! I've got to get you a new coat. Just so happens I've got you one made. Hey, and you're in the closet. Lord Jesus, it quickens your mortal body. Therefore, your body is a temple of the dynamics. Wait a minute. Already? Your body is the temple of the dynamics. So when I give my heart to God, I come through the process of the new birth. I get filled with the Holy Ghost. Sealed. No more world can get in my soul. But I get down and weary sometimes on whatever more. I need another. Refill it. I keep going on my journey and every now and then I just get a refill it. But then He's going to say, hold your mouth open real wide. The same thing I've been drinking on. The same thing that changed me when I was a sinner. The same thing will change my body. fill me and fill me and fill me and fill me. Till all of a sudden, my gray hairs turn back to brown. And my eyes that I had to have LASIK surgery done on several years ago, all of a sudden, I'll have 7/7 vision. And my fingernails and scars I got on my hand from hammer hits and fox bites and my sister's scarring and scratching me and all that, all of a sudden I'll get a makeover. And it won't be with makeup but change up. Mary Kay won't be called for this because she won't be going either unless she changes her ways. Are none of the daughters around this message is wearing Mary Kay and they're painting their eyes up like an old whore and a Jezebel. They won't be going either. Woo! Praise Mother Daddy! I'm talking about the order of the rapture! There was a minister who was down in Florida and he had a car that tore up. Chevrolet car. Took it to a garage. Mechanic. Trying to work on it, trying to get it going. Couldn't figure out what to do. So a nice dressed man stepped up to him and said, "Can I give you some advice?" You tell this mechanic wasn't in the message because he says, "Yes, sir." Oh, my. He said, "If you'll take this times this and this and do this and put it together." And the start of the car cranked. The little mechanic turned around and said, "Say, who are you?" He was the engineer of General Motors, the chief engineer. He designed the car. Now, I love that thought. Now, watch how Brother Man brings it down. Oh, very next paragraph. And today, we're talking about Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. The chief mechanic is here. The designer of his word. The man who created the heavens and the earth and designed his church. Does he know more about what it takes for a rapture? Or does the Methodist or the Baptist church know what it takes? Now I want you to ask yourself, does he know more about what it takes for a rapture or you? Or me? Or any other man or any other group around the message? Who knows the most about what it takes to have a rapture, him or us? He is the designer. He knows what it takes. He's well dressed. In the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. He is walking among us today in the power of his resurrection. He knows what it takes to put a church in rapture order. He designed it. And he put the parts together here in the Bible. Uh-oh. Amen. He just let the current flow. Now watch. It'll operate. Let faith in his promised word of today flow through you and see how it operates. He designed the thing. He designed his church by the word. Rapture order. So let me put it to you in very simple terms. If you today are not born again and have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, if the rapture were to happen this afternoon, you would not be allowed to go. Your long hair, your dress, playing tapes, all the message paraphernalia, none of that. God won't even recognize it. What he looks for is the resurrection life. If you're going in the resurrection, you look for resurrection. If you're a Baptist, you look for Baptist people. If you're a Methodist, you look for Methodists. Since God is the resurrection, he looks for resurrection to resurrect. You understand? Don't be deceived, friends. This is the order of the rapture. Can't you see why Satan's got folks waiting? Oh, wait. Oh, Brother Ram's going to come back. Oh, this man up here, he's got the bride's revival. Oh, this one's got rapturing faith. This one's got rapturing faith. Nonsense. Rapturing faith, resurrection power, lives in every heart which is truly born again. And it'll just be a refilling of what's made you live right all these years. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Maybe if there's one person or many who's uncertain today. Friends, please, let's not play games. Let's be serious about where we are in the time that we live. You look at your life and you compare it to the Word, the Scripture, the message. You say, am I really a fruit-bearing Christian? Would people have a hard time separating me from Jesus because I so live His life? Or does my temper give me away, or my mouth, or my business deals, or whatever more? My flirting with the women, or my flirting with the men. My lying, my cheating. Well, I guarantee you, Jesus does none of the above. Have any of you been compared to Jesus lately? If we're going to marry Him, and we're going to His wedding supper, we better be taking on more of His image. Think of it. Is the token itself speaking out of your life? Anyone that would like to be remembered in prayer? No one looking, please. Just hold your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. Forgive me for going a little long today. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, this is a serious thing. We could be a church member. We could be identified in this church or any other church. Or we could play tapes. We could read our Bible and do all of these things. And we know it's a common belief around the message that rapturing faith is actually on the tapes, and that people will listen to the tapes and get rapturing faith off of them. Of course, Brother Branham never said that, nor did Brother Branham teach that. He couldn't, because it's contrary to Scripture. And he said any doctrine that did not backed up by Bible was a heretic. So he could not teach such things. But he did teach us that the rapture is within us, the resurrection, the new life. So it comes from within. Lord, help us. We don't want to just be identified with this church, with this message. We want to be identified with You. Please, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus. Move on every heart today. May we look at ourselves sanely, soberly. No matter what experiences we've had. Dreams, visions, shouting, speaking in tongues. All those things are wonderful. But we can have that manifestation and still not have the indwelling presence of the person. Look at us. May they check their hearts. Is adultery still in their heart? Some of these men want to leave their wives and marry another. Some of these women want to leave their husbands and marry another. Claim to be a Christian. Lord, some of them want to live like the world, dress like the world. Some of the sisters want to make up like the world and still think that they claim their profession as a Christian. Help them, Lord, to see that You've always been a separate people, called for a people that was separate. This is not our choice. It's Yours. Help us, I pray today, Father. Minister to every heart. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to be in sequence of rapture order, Lord God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.